This is Bucky Bacall. Lately, there's been an increase in the number of emails I get in response to my backyard chicken broadcast. Maybe that's because it's still cold and more folks are indoors listening to the radio and writing emails. But I'm pretty sure it's because more and more people are joining the Bucky Bacall agenda of decentralizing North American agriculture by growing food everywhere possible, including raising chickens in suburban and urban backyards. Many of the people who contact me hear the broadcast on WGDR Community Radio Station out of Plainfield, Vermont, where I am honored to be included in radio pioneer Carl Ettinger's show, Relocalizing Vermont. Most recently, I heard from Cynthia and Steve in Callis, Vermont, whose email I'll share with my listeners. The following dialogue is a dramatization with an actor standing in for Cynthia.
My husband and I are raising four hens and a rooster we bought complete with coop from some friends who are leaving Vermont to return to Trinidad.
Congratulations! Inheriting a small flock is a great way to start with chickens if you get lucky. Part of my aim with the broadcast is not only to get people to go out and get chickens, but to put the chickening bug in listeners' ears so they're ready to accept opportunities like the one you've benefited from. When I left Boise, Idaho to pursue urban agriculture in New York City, the original Bacall flock was adopted by my good friend Kevin, who has since become a seasoned chickener and is now active in the movement to relocalize agriculture. It's also interesting that the flock you're now caring for was begun by folks from Trinidad, where small flock chickening is common off-farm.
We have done our best to get them comfortably through this long, cold winter. I recently let the birds out of the coop for the first time in months to enjoy the chilly rain and weak sunlight. I had to set out boards and logs in the snow because even though they wanted to come out, they were afraid to get their feet wet. An electrician friend advised us to run a 250-watt infrared light on cold nights. The rooster especially enjoys the spa treatment. Our hens seem better adapted to the cold than the rooster, a leghorn adopted from an elementary school. His comb and wattles got frostbitten early on before we were aware of the danger. We insulated the coop, made a polycarbonate storm window, and piled hay on the floor to help them stay warm. Do you think the infrared light is necessary for sub-zero weather? My last electric bill was pretty steep.
I'm a little afraid to advise specifically on sub-zero procedure, because only you can really decide what you can get away with by keeping an eye on the flock and adjusting your approach as you go. But generally, with a well-insulated coop and multiple chickens, you shouldn't have to use the infrared light unless it gets pretty far below zero for a relatively sustained period. As you already know, that does depend on breed. Frostbite is a big concern with leghorns. Many chickeners have success with coating big wattles and comb with Vaseline as a preventive measure. A recent issue of Backyard Poultry had an article on docking combs and wattles, or cutting them, to prevent frostbite and infection. Apparently it's safer and easier than you'd expect, but I've never seen it and haven't tried it, so the concept freaks me out a little. I could be convinced it's not cruel and better than the risk of frostbite, but I'm skeptical. For the most part, I guess I'd say big comb breeds shouldn't be living in places as cold as Vermont. But since you adopted him, you just need a solution. Maybe some of my readers will write in with an idea or two. In the meanwhile, if you do try docking, I suggest you find someone who has done it before to show you, rather than go by instructions in a magazine alone. So are your chickens nesting in your coop?
Actually, the hens like the top of our trash can better than the boxes provided in the coop. I thought the metal handle of the lid must have been uncomfortable, so I scouted around for something to cover the handle and hold the straw, which kept falling off. I found an old tire from my 45-year-old German Heinkel motor scooter.
That's interesting. Heinkel is only one phoneme away from Hinkle, which is German for chicken.
Yeah. And within a day's time, it became the primo spot for hens to sit, where we found the first eggs laid, and indeed almost every egg since.
Well, I have to say, you really have what it takes to be a backyard chickener. The ability to meet your chickens halfway on their nest choice will help keep your chickens happy and productive, and make it easier for you to find their nest. From what I hear, chickens often find a place they like better than their assigned nest boxes. It's funny how a small flock will sometimes queue up, complaining to each other the whole time, as they wait for a nest that looks kind of junky to us.
There seems to be a phenomenon of the beta rooster. We started out with two roosters, but the alpha rooster mysteriously disappeared. After a few months, the beta rooster had become extremely aggressive. To Steve, a rooster is a rooster, and a lone rooster is aggressive. I think there may just be quiet, sensitive roosters, even when no other rooster is around. Could you clear this up?
My observation of chickens is that generalizations about behavior are useful, but there are many exceptions. Certain breeds of roosters, like Silkies, are known to be quiet and sensitive, or cuddly. Some even go broody. On the other hand, it wouldn't surprise me, even though it would be noteworthy, if one of the guard or cockfighting breeds generated a sensitive New Age rooster. Finally, I've heard a lot of stories of chickens, especially roosters, having radical personality changes in response to changes in setting, including flock dynamics, or sometimes for no apparent reason.
We have enjoyed the birds and the eggs. I have made some good pasta with them.
I like to make handmade pasta as well, and for years decided vegan pasta with just flour and water was better than egg pasta. When I became a chickener, I fried all our eggs for breakfast, and only recently did I even try using true free-range eggs to make spaghetti or cappelletti, and I was amazed at how much more durable the noodles were during the boiling stage, how much heartier they tasted, and how much better they kept in the freezer. This, on top of the fact that backyard eggs have been shown to be more nutritious, and of course don't contain the antibiotics and pesticides that factory eggs contain. We backyard chickeners sure do eat well. Thanks for writing, Cynthia and Steve. The signature at the bottom of their email contained a link to Steve's fascinating website on his many years of building geodesic dome structures for housing and storage. I enthusiastically recommend my listeners find out more about his work by Googling Steve Miller Geodesic Domes. You'll find his website and a few others that discuss his work. Interestingly, Steve was inspired by another Bucky, Buckminster Fuller. It does me proud that the Buggy McCaw agenda appeals to new and future chickeners for a variety of reasons. Quality of life, fun, self-reliance, reducing pollution, reducing fuel use, and raising organic food. Chickens are my great passion, but our broader agenda includes all the other ways to transition towards a sane, sustainable way of life. Bicycle transportation, direct participatory democracy, green construction, and more. This is Bucky McCaw. I had a good time.
Bucky McCaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast is produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute. For more information, visit BuckyBucaw.org. BUCKYBUCKAW.org.